This is part two of the success call with Brent Gove.
Let's talk about how you're getting all these people to the open house. You started telling us a little bit about the signs. First of all, what are all the different methods you use to get people to the open house, and also give us some of those details?
Well, my signs, most people's signs say, you know, Coldwell Banker, REMAX, Keller Williams. I'm a Keller Williams guy. You know, you advertise your brokerage and it says open house in an arrow. Well, the arrow doesn't make anybody come. The word Coldwell Banker, REMAX, or Keller Williams doesn't make anybody come. There's only one reason people show up. It's because you have the word open house. What if you added on there free list of area homes? I was over at the Ocean the other day and the guy actually had that. And I actually stopped because I wanted to get a list of the area homes to see what prices were going for. See, so the open house didn't motivate me to stop, but the free list of area homes did. So why don't we put some more reasons for them to come? Back in the day, I'd put HUD home. Or I put 500 moves you in because you were able to do that back in the day. And then a program for $500, you could buy a HUD home. So 500 moves you in, free list of area homes, open house. So there's three reasons to come. Some people, or bank repo, open house, free list of area homes, and you got to get creative with the arrow. But some people come because bank repo, they sense blood in the water. Other people come for the free list of area homes. They pull up, the house is a two-story, they want a one-story. They normally drive away, pull up, and then drive away. Oh, it's a two-story, let's leave. Why even go in? Oh, there's that free list of area homes. Let's go get it because we like this area. We're driving around this area. So they come in, half come in for the free list of area homes. But no, everybody in America uses their dumb brokerage. Keller Williams, and I work for Keller Williams, and I love Keller Williams. Keller Williams doesn't make people come in, but if you could print it big enough and make it look right with the graphic designer, free list of area homes, then I'd be happy to provide a copy of my signs. I had to get rid of the word bank repo because we don't have any more in California. There are none. I had to get rid of the HUD home 500 moves you in because they made it illegal. If you put 500 moves you in, now you have to quote the APR with it. And I actually got sued by a realtor representing the great state of California for faulty advertising because I didn't have the APR on my sign because of Regulation Z. I'm like, what the heck is all that? But I settled with the guy for $500. He was such a worm, and he probably kept $490, gave the state of California $10 apparently. But we have a new rule that says you have to have the APR if you have some sort of a down payment on your sign. So you live and you learn, cheap lesson, $500. But so now my signs say must see, free list of area homes, and open house. So I only have two calls to action on my signs currently. We just have no HUD homes. We have no bank repos. And we can't quote dollar down in California. I don't know if Reg Z is nationwide or not. Have you heard of Regulation Z and all that, Mike?
I have, and it is national.
It is national, okay.
It's a federal law.
I'd be happy to provide you a copy of my signs, but so when I went to the company I emulated way when I went from 28 to 48, John Brooks Realty, they had 30 signs out and they had 500 moves you in, free list of area homes, and open house. I get there, there's like 40 cars out front. People are upstairs, downstairs, in the backyard, in the house, in the front yard. It was like a zoo. And they didn't put out five signs, they put out 30. And they had three reasons to show up, and they must have had 70, 80 people there. And the light bulb just went on, and I simply caught everything I've ever done, even my radio program. We haven't got it. I copied Jay Kinder, one of the most successful agents out there. I copied Jay. Jay and I are great friends. And 10 years ago, I go, Jay, how's it going? It's going awesome. You should try it. So I did. And I've been on the radio for 10 years, and I'm probably one of the top most well-known agents in Sacramento, if not the number one guy, but I've been on the radio for a decade, you know, branding. So that's a whole nother story. But back to the open houses, it's putting out a lot of them, reaching the major artery, going all the way to a freeway or some 8-lane road, or maybe, well, the biggest road we got in my town is 2 lanes. Well, great, get to it. And then pepper it with signs and then run them in. Because I always use the analogy of a fruit stand. It's like you're driving through the desert or the high plains or on some boring rural road, and all of a sudden you see pears, you know, 25 cents a pound, strawberries, you know, $1.99 a crate, you know, watermelon, 18 cents a pound, and grapes and Fuji apples. and there's sign after sign after sign after sign, and all of a sudden you look at whoever you're with, you, let's stop at that little fruit stand, man. I'm craving some doggone grapes, or let's get some strawberries. And 3 minutes ago, you weren't even thinking about it, but now you're kind of hungry. You're like, man, it sounds good. Let's get some pears. And all of a sudden you pull over. And so that's why having 30 signs is so important. People are texting, eating, talking, going 70 miles an hour. You need sign after sign after sign after sign after sign, like the fruit stand, to get their attention, to go, whoa, what's happening here? You know, and then you get to the intersection. I put two on each corner, not like one or two signs. You know, I want to be polite, one or two signs. I have two on each corner, so it's 8 signs at the intersection going, go left. And then they turn left like a moth to the flame, like a bug to the bug zapper light. They're like, they're hypnotized. And then they show up in droves. And then you just kind of weed through them and find the motivated people, and you stay with it. And when I get a good one, I stay with them until I'm done. And if a good couple leaves, they leave. I don't run to each couple like a dog wagging my tail. I try to get through each couple as quick as I can. I go to the next and the next. Most of you are bored stiff because you put out 5 signs that said RE/MAX open house, and nobody came to your dumb open house, and you're convinced they don't work. So it's a different approach, and it works. Not every time. Stick with it, but it does work consistently, big time.
Could you give us a few more details about the sign itself? For instance, is it a stick-in-the-ground sign? Is it an A-frame sign?
Good question. I used to use signs that were made out of PCV pipe, which is like a water pipe you run in your backyard to your sprinklers, little white pipes, you know, plastic, sure. Hard plastic. And I put concrete in the legs so they wouldn't blow away. I have a sign shop make them. And then I'd use like this canvas. You could hit it with a fire hose and it wouldn't run. And the letters were plastic peeled onto the canvas. It was all professionally done. And they were about 5 feet tall and 3 feet wide. So they were eye-catching. They were orange with black letters. I mean, you could miss them. Most open house signs are what? About 2 feet wide and 3 feet high. And they sit on the corner, maybe a little floppy balloon in the wind, maybe a white balloon and a blue balloon, maybe a red balloon that says Keller Williams. But and you hardly notice it. And you're going through that intersection trying not to get hit, and you certainly don't turn into the dumb open house. So these signs are huge. They were $100 a piece. And back then, I would put out like a ton of them. And sometimes the city would pick them up, and we'd lose $1,400 worth of signs in a day. But it was worth it. We made so much money, that didn't happen all the time. But I've had all my signs taken by the city. I've had them vandalized. So I've migrated to, believe it or not, corrugated plastic. They're 2 feet by 3 feet. They're yellow with black letters. And they cost about $7 each. If I lose 15 of them, you know, it's, you know, under $100. It's not going to devastate me financially. And I order hundreds of them, and we put them up. They'll want to use a metal stake. All the sign companies will want to give you like these wire meshy metal stakes, just a little stronger than a coat hanger, about 5 times the strength of a coat hanger, and you put it in the ground. The problem is there's a lot of hard pan everywhere. So I actually use rod iron black stakes, and they go into the signs. They're thin up top, but down below, man, they'll punch through concrete. I've actually broken some of those in hard pan, but rarely, and they just punch right into the earth. Now, some places, literally, it was such hard pan, even those wouldn't go through. It'd fold some in El Dorado Hills. So then you got to get a few that are like A-framey. Get 4 or 5 that have the A-frame that you pop open, and you put those on the hard pan. You can make it work. Well, I'd do it, but I have hard pan where I live. We'll get the A-frame ones. Well, it costs an extra $15. Well, good. Okay, so you get 20 times 15, $300. It costs you an extra $300. Grow up. Get what you need to do your craft. I know a painter that'll spend $2,500 on a compressor, and he's just painting fences, guys. So don't be afraid to invest in your business, you know? Anyways, hope that wasn't too harsh.
On those signs, do you always do the arrow to the left or the right, or do you also do it, say, straight up or straight ahead?
Yeah, when we get someone started, we encourage them to get 20 arrows, and they all go one way, but you flip the sign. And by flipping the sign, they're on both sides. They're front and back. It looks identical. And you just, if you want to go left, you point the arrow left. If you want to go right, you just flip it around, and now you're going right. So they all turn the same way. You just flip the sign to get to point whatever direction you want, if that makes sense. And then 20 of those, and then 5 where the arrow is going straight to the top. So that those mean keep going straight. And then you'll put one, and then you look down the road a quarter mile, and you go, I can see down there. And you drive to where you can see, and you put another one. And then you look another quarter mile about as far as you can see, and you drive as far as you can see, and you put another one. And then you follow your path. You go, oh, I see one. You go, oh, there's another sign way down there. And they follow that. They go, boom, boom. It's like Hansel and Gretel, breadcrumbs. You're breadcrumbing them to your open house. And, you know, you can get good ways with 5 of them. Sometimes if you're going to do, obviously, 2, 3, 4 miles, then you need about 15 straights. I'm a little extreme, but I get extreme results, you know. So, you know, anyways, I know what it's like to make $280,000 net in a month, you know, not a year, in a month. So don't be afraid to be a little extreme. Don't be afraid to do them in a windstorm and you have to go to Cragen's Auto Supply and buy bungee cords and bungee cord them to trees, telephone poles, and signs. Do them in the rain, do them and it's 108 degrees. I never missed. But that's the key of any successful person in any field. They are consistent as the morning sunrise. And they follow their business plan. They don't go, well, let's go snow skiing. Oh, I got invited to go snow skiing. Grow up. Say no. Follow your plan. Ski during the week. Do whatever you want. Go houseboating. Do it during the week. Work on the weekends.
So signs are a big part of your promotion. Do you do anything other than the signs to promote your open house?
I don't, but I've recently bumped into people that are putting ads on Craigslist. They're doing some different things, and I'm actually going to start implementing that. You can always improve what you're doing, and they've noticed a difference. So I never advertise them in the MLS. There's a way to advertise them in the MLS, and we recently started doing that as well. Our MLS lets you advertise the open house, and so we're going to add to what we're doing.
Well, Brent, I'm going to leave open houses here. Before I do, is there anything else you think an agent listening who wants to do open houses in a big way, anything else you could advise them that we haven't talked about yet?
Do you have a way to get people a copy of my sign if I were to give it to you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we can definitely post any samples that you have. We can post. Thank you.
Okay, I'll give you a copy of my sign. Plus, they need a copy of my 5x7 loan application. I'm more of a loan officer than I am a real estate agent when I'm out there. Now, if the couple's in their Range Rover or their BMW 7 Series and you could just tell they have money, I don't make them fill out the application. But I say, have you gotten pre-qualified, pre-approved yet? They go, oh, no, we haven't. I go, if you take 1 minute and fill that out, you're done. And I'll call you Monday with your approval. That's it. That's the whole spiel. And they go, yeah, that doesn't everybody want quick? I mean, you pull up to Starbucks, there's no lines at Starbucks. You're like, yes. And you order and you go in. But you pull up to Starbucks and 15 cars backed up in the drive-thru. You're like, oh, man. And what is it, a 10-minute wait? But nobody wants to wait 10 minutes. We want things quick. So when I say take 1 minute, and that's why it's important, you keep it 5x7. Your lender will want to add stuff. Well, it doesn't ask if they pay alimony or child support. We'll ask that later. I would just want to know if they have good credit. We'll ask more questions later, because if it's too big, they won't fill it out. If it's 8.5x11, they won't fill it out. But little 5x7, I drop the pin and go, oh, this takes 1 minute. I'll call you Monday with your approval. Our approval department is liberal and generous as they come. Take 1 minute, fill it out, you're done. And mainly I use that on people that I think need it. And they look at each other. Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead. And then on there, their social security numbers are on there. It just, I don't ask them for it. It's on the form and they get it. They fill it all out and I turn them in. My lender loves it. And now again, if the guy says, oh, I'm a doctor with Kaiser Hospital. I'm head of the school district. I'm a college professor. You can just see, then I back off that a little bit. You know, I might take a little shot at it, but I don't, you know, oh no, we're already pre-approved. We're putting $300,000 down. I drop it and I don't fill out the whole form, but I'll also provide you a copy of that 5x7 form. When I worked with Remax, I had the balloon logo on there. Now I'm at Keller Williams for 5 years. I have a swirly KW on there. You could copy my form. I give you permission and then put Prudential or Century 21 or whatever logo you want on it. put a nice little logo, make it look professional, and then people will fill it out like hotcakes. So I'll provide you that too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you, Brent. I really appreciate that.
Yep.
Let's move on to another medium that you've used and you said it's really taking off, and that is radio ads. Before we get into the specifics of your radio ad, though, you start to bring it up. It sounds to me like you're doing some type of radio talk show. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have a one-hour program every weekend, Saturdays 4 to 5. You guys can tune in nationwide. It's every weekend, West Coast, California time, 4 to 5. Just go to Google and put KFBK 1530 AM, KFBK 1530 AM. I think it's KFBK.com. I don't know, but Google KFBK 1530 AM. I'm on every weekend, West Coast time, 4 to 5 PM. You can listen to my show, listen live online from wherever you are. For those of you East Coasters, that's 7 o'clock at night. Your day's over. You can listen to my show if you want, but yeah, I have an hour program on real estate. It's a live call-in show. KFBK is one of the top AM stations in the nation. One of the top 15. Tom Sullivan, who does the national news for Fox. If you listen to Fox on the radio, Tom Sullivan, he came from that radio station. And there's one other guy that came from our station here in Sacramento. You guys might have heard of him. His name is Rush Limbaugh. So Rush, Tom Sullivan, a lot of people came from this station in Sacramento. Yeah, I do that every Saturday.
And did you say you've been doing that for 10 years?
No. Interesting enough, I started, Mike, copying Jay. I was running ads, and I called him up and just started running ads on the station and didn't really know what I was doing. And so we came up with a campaign. I was spending $14,000 a month. So I was already, fairly doing well and successful if I was able to spend $14,000 a month before I hit the radio. They thought I was advertising for Remax Corporate. I go, no, just right here. Like, oh, for your office? No, just me. They're like, you're an agent and you have a $14,000 a month advertising budget. You have the discretionary funds, $14,000 a month. I go, yeah. So they were taking bets. I wouldn't last 3 months because in 3 months, 2 months is $28,000. 3 months is $42,000. And I lasted 2 years. 2 years later, I was still there, and I dropped my spend down to $12,000 a month or $144,000 a year. And it was, I'll be honest with you, it was going okay. I wouldn't say it was going great. I was making more money than I was spending, but, even if you made double that, a quarter of a million, you're spending, $300,000 from the radio, but you spend $144,000, that just really means you're working for, half. And it's like you're paying a 50% referral fee instead of to a broker, you're paying it to the radio station. That's horrible. So I wasn't really happy with it. I blamed myself for it. I didn't have good call to action. I was making so much money back in those days that it was back in 04, 05. It's been 10 years that I just, I was irresponsible. So they finally came to me and said, we think that you're very personable, very passionate, very knowledgeable. You're the top agent for Remax 5 years in a row. We think you should do a weekend show on real estate. We think the listeners would really like it. I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want to be stuck at your radio station every weekend. So I turned them down for half a year. I looked the gift horse in the mouth and turned it down. Biggest mistake of my life. But thank God they kept pursuing me. After 6 months, I said, I'll give it a shot. And the first 6 months I did it, I really didn't like it. I was nervous. I was sweating. I was freaking out. And it took me about 6 months to get comfortable with it. But I found the result to be 10 times higher than the ads. I was getting a 10, literally, well, I don't know about that, but it was a significant return, way better. Instead of just, some company advertising on the radio, come to the sleep mattress, sleep train, and buy a mattress. I was the expert on a topic. And people would call me and say, hey, come list my $800,000 house. Would love your show. Great. 6%, right? They wouldn't even dicker the commission. It was great. And so I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I did that for 6 years until about 2 years ago. And then 2 years ago, I started running ads again during the week. But my ad I was running hit nerve in the public, And with the ad, I probably started making an extra $300,000 or $400,000 a year with the particular ad I was running. Just the one ad, which we'll, I think we have now. You have a copy of that ad, don't you, Mike?
I do.
If you want to play it, you can play it right now. But this ad made me an extra $300,000 net income last year alone. And this year, probably an extra $400,000. This particular ad, above and beyond what the show generates. So this ad is golden.
Well, Brent, let's listen to that ad, and then we can critique it afterwards. So let's give that a shot.
By the way, I only run it, I think I run it once on Tuesday, twice on Wednesday, and once on Thursday. That's it. I only run the sucker like four times. I don't run it on Monday, don't run it on a Friday. Our station's very big, very expensive. But go ahead and play the ad. It's a one-minute ad.
What time of the day do you run that ad?
I run it in the mornings during Rush Limbaugh or in the afternoons during Tom Sullivan. It bounces around. That's prime time in radio.
Let's take a quick listen here. Here we go.
Hi, this is Brent Gove, host of the Real Estate Report. Hey, if you're listening to this show and you're thinking, I should call that guy, you know what? You should probably call me, especially if you're thinking about listing your house. A lot of you, I'm sure, go to Zillow, and Zillow's great for getting data. But if there haven't been recent sales or comparable type sales to your home in your neighborhood, chances are that Zillow's coming in way low. I bet your home's worth quite a bit more than you even imagined. So again, if you're thinking of selling, what I want you to do is actually call me. I'm a full-time agent with Keller Williams Real Estate. I'd love to help you. My number is 916-223-5555. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what your home's actually worth, and you're going to be shocked because Sacramento just got voted the number two city in the entire country for a real estate housing turnaround. So call me up, 223-5555, and let's talk.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's working really well. And some people didn't even notice it, but I used some NLP in there, neuro-linguistic programming. I don't know if I could say it right, but just the way you talk and your cadence. So some of that's in there, but that ad is just flat killed it for me and really been awesome. So, that's something someone could copy in their hometown and do, you know?
Let's break that down. So you had a couple of call to action. You had them calling your phone number. First of all, they recognize your voice. They trust you. And that's probably huge right there. You're going after sellers. You're asking them if they're going to list their home. You've mentioned that they may be going online to get a valuation of their property at Zillow or Trulia. However, that estimate may be far off. And if they want an accurate picture of the value of their home, they should call you. That's really strong. And you have a target, you have a call to action, and you have that trust already built up because they probably have already heard of you on your radio show. And I'm sure it goes together. What else in that radio ad is working? You've mentioned NLP. What do you mean by that?
You hesitate and you'll hear me hesitate, then go, call me. And just the way you talk, I'd have to go back through it and dissect it. But, you know, when you're thinking about listing your home with me and the way you say it, it just sticks in their mind. Hey, I'm going to list my home with him. I'm going to call him. And there's some weird scientific way. I don't understand it, but it does work. But Zillow, people I found are really frustrated with Zillow. You know, it's a computer algorithm that just averages the price. And if you've dumped 40 grand into your kitchen and spent 100 grand on your backyard and put it, Zillow doesn't know that. And so people are frustrated and they do call you. Yeah, they go on Zillow. We're thinking of selling. And I keep talking about listing your home, thinking of selling, call me. Because you don't want just looky-loos, you know. You don't want to tell your time telling people that are, yeah, well, how much is my home worth? You know, if they're not thinking of selling or moving, you will not have the time. So I really try to get people, you know, that are only thinking of listing or selling. And and if they do still call me, I just give them a real quick down and dirty. You just don't have the time to deal with all of it. But it's struck an accord. It works great. Give it about 90 days. Give a budget. Don't run it for 2 weeks and say it doesn't work. And if you're going to copy my ad, call me. Send me a copy of it. Let me listen to it. My cell phone is 916-223-5555. If you're going to do this, send me the ad. Let me hear it first. I can save you. I've had a couple people do it and not succeed with it, but they sounded terrible on the radio. They go, well, I think it sounds pretty good. Let me hear it. I'll tell you if you got to redo it. And try it for 2 or 3 months.
So give it a little bit of time. You're running it 4 times a week during prime time. You mentioned it's not inexpensive. How much is that costing you?
Yeah, right now we're spending about $5,000 a month on these ads. So, you know, not everyone has that kind of a budget. My show is to pay for the show. The show is about $8,000 a month. But it was the ads that really... And the ads before, it's so weird. When I did them before, I was spending $14,000 a month and not getting near. But the message was wrong. You could spend money on TV or radio and not get the result you want. It's the message. So this particular ad, and Zillow is the number one. They're the big dog nationwide. Zillow is it. And people go there, but they're frustrated. So it's right now. It's I don't know how long it'll work for, but it's working. You know, I've been running that ad for a year and a half, and I'm just killing it.
When you say killing it, what kind of results are you seeing back?
Well, I've added last year an extra $300,000 to my income. And then this year, it looks like probably an extra $400,000 because of those ads. So that's if I can do something and add an extra $300,000, that's killing it. That's my way of defining that.
So if I just ran some quick numbers in my head, sounds like you're spending about $13,000 a month between the ad and the show, about $150,000, $156,000 a year. You're bringing in another $300,000. So you're basically doubling your money.
No, it's an additional $300,000 because of the ad. The show itself, prior to running that ad, is probably responsible for about... I would say $300,000 to $400,000 of income as well. So altogether, you're looking about $600,000 to $800,000 in revenue from the radio. But here's the difference: when you have the show, you have advertisers that want to buy time on your show. So I dropped my bill from $14,000 to $12,000 to where I had a show and people bought time on my show. So the $8,000 the show costs is paid for by advertisers. So I dropped my advertising budget from $14,000 to $12,000 to $0. So altogether, I'm spending $60,000 a year, and my return from the radio is running anywhere from $600,000 to $800,000.
Wow! So you're making 10 to 1.
So how are those numbers for some quick numbers?
I like those numbers better. So you're putting $1 into your radio advertising, and because of the whole picture of what you're doing, you're getting $10 back out.
That's a great way to look at it. That's absolutely correct. And the branding, your past clients hear it, and I bump into them. They listen all the time. So the show is really huge. I encourage anybody to do it, but you need some staying power. You know, it takes a little while to get it going, but I would never give it up after 10 years. I hope I'm doing this 20 years from now, just an hour. And when I want, like this weekend, I'm going to Tahoe, Lake Tahoe with my family, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, headed to the cabin. I'll just play a best of show. So I'll go to Maui. I'm going to the Caribbean in November. I got 13 cabins booked. We're bringing almost 30 people, some of the, you know, our staff and agents. And we're going to go have a great time, a deep Caribbean cruise on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship called the Oasis, one of the largest cruise ships in the world. We're going to have a great time. Again, I'll play a best of, probably 2 weekends in a row. I can just go back and go pick a great show from October and a great show from September, and they'll... So I'm free to travel. I'm not locked down. You're not stuck. You just play a best of. Rush Limbaugh does it. A lot of these shows said, today you're listening to a best of, and they go play. So you're not trapped. That was my big thing. I didn't want to be trapped. I thought I would be. I found out you're not at all.
I think a surprise people would have is that you pay the station to do the show. You would think that the station would pay you, but you're paying the station $8,000 a month to do the show. But then you're able to offset that by having advertising. Did you have to go out and find the advertisers, or did the station help you locate those people to sponsor the show?
Radio stations primarily exist for one reason and survive for one reason: advertising. It's all about advertising. They like good show content. They like talent. They need it or people won't listen. And the better the talent, the more listeners they get. And the more listeners they get, the more advertising they get, and the more they can charge. But it's all about advertising. So the weekend shows you hear on, you know, almost 100% of those stations, I would say 90% of those shows are paid. You know, there's a few shows on my station that are not paid, but they're just a handful and they're at funky, weird times that nobody else wants. And, you know, so they let somebody do it. They have somebody do a show. But yeah, no, it's all paid.
Let's talk about your team real quickly. Could you tell me how many people are on your team and what positions they hold?
Yeah, I have 10 showing agents. I allow them to list homes too, but mainly they tend to work with buyers. As you hire new agents, they tend to be buyer-based. If they stumble across a listing, I let them list it. Whatever split they're on, if they're on a 50-50, then they get 50, I get 50. If they're on a 60-40, they get 60, I get 40. As years go by, I don't do any lead generation for my agents. I give them the fishing pole and send them out there to the riverbanks, which are, I teach them my open house program. So I have no overhead. They don't cost me anything. They do their own lead generation. First year, they're 50-50. Second year, 60-40. Third year, 70-30. Fourth year, 80-20. Now, most agents say, you can't make any money on 80-20. I don't spend any money on them. I don't lead generate for my agents. I don't give leads to my agents. Now, of course, I get busy and sometimes I give leads to my agents. And when I do, I typically give it to one who's on a 50-50. Then I'm getting a 50% referral fee, not a 25% referral fee like many of you. And if one is good, two is better, 10 is better. You know, in 05, when I did 429 sales, I had 47 buyer's agents working for me. I didn't have my own office. I was just an agent. Instead of having one or two or three, I had 47. I was leveraged. Remember I said you leverage through staff, through agents. There's three ways. Marketing, you leverage with marketing. I'm doing that with the radio. I'm going to be embracing Zillow big time as far as the marketing that Zillow offers in the future. I really think that's a huge trend in the future. I give myself an F right now, but I'll be at A status in the next 90 days. I'll have like 100 reviews. And Zillow's big. But marketing, the database, and then people, either assistants, staff, or showing agents. I have one listing agent. She takes everything under 300,000 because I don't want to do it. I get busy with the home at 150, and I'm so busy with it, I don't call back the lead at 800,000. And I close the one at 150, yahoo. Then I call the one back at 800. I was 3 days late. They list with somebody else. I lost 24 grand. So everything under 300 goes to my one. She's super talented and available and great. She doesn't drop the ball, and we just split it 50-50. That's how I do it. You can do what you want. And then, so, but again, 10 showing agents, and I have 4 full-time staff that help me, like employees.
Can you tell us what those positions are with the 4 staff?
Yeah, my key guy, my operations manager, James Stroop, he's incredibly talented. He probably earns $70,000, $80,000 a year. He might make $100,000 this year. Depends how things go. But he's paid off how business goes. So he's my operations manager. And then I have my transaction coordinator, Debbie Talk. She's been with me for a decade. She handles all the paperwork. None of myself nor my agents handle any paperwork. And then I have my closing manager. So if I sell, say, for example, if I sell 7 homes personally here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, which I should, she takes over once they're sold. And she's been doing real estate for 18 years also. She's very talented. And she takes them to close. And when they close, she gets $600. But, for example, 7 times 600 is $4,200. So she'll make $4,200. I allow her to work with buyers and sellers in her spare time. So she'll probably make $50,000, $60,000 this year, but she closes each transaction. She has a TC. She doesn't have to do the paperwork, but she just makes sure that the home inspections get done on time, the appraisals get done on time, the disclosures get out, if there's a request repairs, that all gets handled. So I don't have to do it. I don't get bound down in escrow-itis. You know, you got 4 or 5 in escrow, and you're not busy working on the next. I'm always prospecting and going to the next because I'm great at it. I'm the tip of the spear. That's my one thing, is Gary Keller's new book, The One Thing. Get the book. Read it. Oh, my gosh. I was reading Gary Keller's books at RE/MAX. Who cares what company he works from? Be learning-based. Be a student of real estate. Learn, 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 learn from anybody. If you think you can't learn, I have agents at RE/MAX go, why do you keep going to seminars? I'm going to Kinder Reese in October. I'm going to Haas Pratt in October in Dallas. I'm going to both. Why? Because I'm learning-based. You can always learn. You can always improve. And the second you think you've arrived, you're history. So, and then we have a runner, which is my dad. He's 78. He's been doing real estate 45-year broker. He's pretty much retired 5 years ago. But he and my dad's awesome. And whatever I can do to help you, Spencer, he might go pop a house open to show a client. He might go put a lockbox on a house. He might go deliver some disclosures. And I pay him way better than I should, but he's my dad and I love him. And he's just whatever we need, if he's available. Like this weekend, he'll be in Colorado all weekend goofing off. So he's not available, but my dad's our runner and he's really helped us out. He'll go take pictures in a pinch. We do have a full-time photographer as well.
Brent, you mentioned you have a transaction coordinator. Can the showing agents use that transaction coordinator? And do you charge them a fee for that service?
They're all required to use her. I do not want them doing it themselves. You know, it's a great way to get sued. My TC, any good TC will keep you out of a lawsuit. Kind of remind the agents who are new sometimes. I have an agent, she's new, and she's got four in escrow. And she doesn't know what she's doing, but she's great with people. People love her. But I'm sure glad she's not handling the paperwork and timelines. So that TC's there backing it up, kind of almost teaching her as well as I'm teaching her, and making sure things get handled properly. So they're required to use the TC, and our TC is expensive. She's $350 a file. Most people get TCs for $250, $275, $300 a file. We pay ours $350, and on all my files, I actually pay her $400, but she'll whip out an addendum for me, a counteroffer for me, a 40-hour notice to perform for me. She'll actually fill out for her. I just call her up and say, hey, I need you to do a notice to perform on Crestview Circle. They're not performing. Whip out the form, send it to me by a DocuSign. Bam, bam, I slam my signature on it, and it goes back, and then she takes care of it. So I give her an extra $50. So I pay her $400 a file, but she goes a little above and beyond the TC work for me.
When one of your showing agents has a contract that goes to the TC to get closed up, there's this $350 fee. Are you paying the fee or does the showing agent pay the fee?
Great question. It comes off the top. If we're on a 50-50, we split the fee. If they're on a 60-40, they pay 60% of the fee. I pay 40. 70-30, they pay 70% of the fee. I pay 30, 80-20, and so on. So it depends upon their commission split as to how that is split.
Well, Brent, are you profitable?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I'm really the only outgo I have right now are my radio ads, and I'm killing it. The radio's paid for as far as my show with people, you know, mortgage companies, title companies, insurance companies, solar's huge right now, solar companies, property management companies. They're just beating the door down. In the beginning, you'll have to go looking for them, but they'll go just say, hey, try my show for 60 days, you know, $500 a month. And I'll refer you business, and plus you'll get business off the show. And they're like, done, you know? And now you got to be somewhat established agent to, heck, they'll do it just for your referrals. And then make sure you're promoting them on your radio show. And you do, you know, sometimes I talk about on my show about having the proper home insurance or about termites. You got pest companies and termite companies, you know, general contractors. There's so many people that could advertise. So, yeah, the show's free. And, you have that, and my staff are paid, actually independent contractor status. As I close a deal, they get paid. If I don't get paid, they don't get paid. So I have no payroll, and I do not control their hours, but I tell them if you don't get your job done, it won't work, and you won't be working here. And my staff's amazing. They all get the work done. I make sure they love it. I spoil them. I treat them right. Take them to the Caribbean. Thinking, oh, you're rich, you can do that. It's a $1,500 a couple cruise for 7 days. It's not expensive. They get their airline tickets to Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, I spent $1,500 on them, but that's one sale this year out of 200. And I'm able to, and their family goes, he's taking you to the Caribbean? Next year we're going to Maui? The stuff's not expensive if you do group bookings and you create a lot of goodwill. And people, sometimes they get upset and want to quit, like, well, I'm going to quit after the Caribbean, after Maui. And then by the time the Caribbean and Maui comes, you're having so much fun, they forgot what they were upset about. They never quit. So it's a great retention tool, and it creates a lot of goodwill. And my team loves each other, and we play together, pray together, party together, you know. I mean, party. I might have a glass of wine once a week or something, you know, beer. That's it. But we party. We enjoy life. We enjoy each other, each other's kids. And so, every year we take a fun trip, too.
Brent, would you mind disclosing to us what your net profit margin is?
I haven't figured out what that number is. So I wish I could give you an actual number. I know this year I wanted to net $1 million, and I'm probably going to fall a little short of that for various reasons that are too long to go into here. But I'll probably net conservatively $850,000 net. So that's actual net in my pocket. So I haven't figured out what the percentage is to gross sales. I haven't figured out it. I wouldn't know what to say. I don't have that answer.
Brent, what drives you?
Wow. Travel. I go somewhere every month. We're going to Tahoe this month. Last month I was golfing in Arizona, Scottsdale, golfing Troon North, Pinnacle Monument, Eagle Mountain, the Dinosaur. I'm an avid golfer. I go to Las Vegas. I go to Palm Springs. I go to Arizona. I do the Tahoe Rim Run, Edgewood at Tahoe, which is the celebrity course everyone sees every year. I play that a couple times a year. So every month I'm taking a trip. Twice a year, we go to Cabo every year. We go to Maui, the Caribbean. So I love to travel with my wife alone and with the kids. They're both great vacations. One's even more fun. Anyways, but nothing like being in Cabo for 7 days with your wife, and it's pretty dreamy. If you've ever been to Land's End Cabo with those infinity edge pools, and it's just a great time. I'm motivated by my family, by travel, I just got back from Haiti last month. I also went to Haiti, did a medical mission with 19 people from my church. We brought doctors and nurses. I have none of those skills, but I went anyway. It just helped out. Poorest nation on earth, they have nothing, and it was really awesome. And no, we were a drop in the bucket, but there are 30 teams that go to that region, and with all 30 of us, we make a huge difference. So I was in Guatemala a few years before that, at an orphanage in the jungles before that, in the Tibet and the Dalai Lama's palace in the Himalayas and Mount Everest. So I'm kind of a travel guy, but mainly sunny, warm, tropical places is my deal. And so that's playing golf, enjoying my family. I got 5 kids, my wife, very balanced, you know. So my wife and I go out every Wednesday night. We'll go out tonight. We go out every Saturday night, just her and I. I date her. We're on dates every Wednesday. We love it. We're busy, and we look forward to it. We used to do once a week our whole marriage, 23 years. Now we're up to twice a week. I love her more today than I did, like those couples you hear. It's true. As time goes by, at least for us it is. And then I take my kids out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Last night we went and saw a family movie together. We went and saw the 100-foot gap. It's that French restaurant and the Indian restaurant. That is a heartwarming movie. Great movie. Highly recommend it. Saw that last night with my kids. I take them out Thursday night. Friday night we have youth. Every Wednesday morning I take my son golfing with a PGA pro to work. He's 10 years old. He just loves golf. And that's not making me sad in any way. I get lessons too. So I have all the time scheduled and church and I live by my calendar. I don't react to life. I act on life. So I don't even remember what you asked me now. I'm the king of going off the rabbit trails, but hopefully that helped.
It did. Brent, why have you been so successful?
Well, I took the credit for that once when I was 23 and went bankrupt about 4 years later. So I will not tell you it's because I am the world's greatest salesman, although I love that book, The World's Greatest Salesman by Og Mandino. You should all get it and read it. It's amazing. But I would say the favor of God. I've done all the right things and had things not work out. So for me, I get on my knees and I thank God and I'm grateful to the Lord. And so I give God the credit as to why I'm so successful, because without his favor and blessing, I wouldn't be. I truly believe that. Some people are agnostic. That's cool. Whatever. You got your thing. Some of you are atheists. That's cool. You know, love y'all. You know, I love the Muslims and too bad. Some of the extreme ones don't feel that way back. But and then, of course, working for it, studying, going to seminars, asking people, going to inviting the speaker to breakfast or can I buy you coffee, and then interrogating them, having the gift of observation. Look around. Who's succeeding? Copy them, you know? And so for me, I thank the Lord, and then I work my tail off and emulate success. I don't invent things. I just emulate what I see that's working. And for my next big project, it's Zillow. Getting reviews on Zillow. It's the wave of the future. Trust me. I'm telling you, Zillow is it. So I'm excited, even though right now I'm a total failure at it. But a good friend of mine, Joran Force, is going to coach me, and he's one of the top guys in the nation. So even me, I'm being coached. I'm learning. I'm going to create a new revenue source through Zillow.
Brent, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting into business, what would you tell them to do first?
Man, for me, I mean, my journey's been open houses. If I parachuted into, you know, Colorado City, Colorado, I'd get 30 or 40 open house signs. I'd get out there at 8 in the morning on Saturday, and I'd stay out there till 8 at night on Saturday. Then I'd get out there, you know, Sunday, and I, you know, go to church in the morning. If that's your gig, it's my gig, as you guys know. And then I would go do the open houses, and I'd get tons of clients. People starve in real estate because they don't. The key is lead generation, mastering lead generation. If I was new, I would pick something. You know, who do you know who's succeeding? Are they calling the expireds and they canceled and withdrawn? Are they door knocking? I don't understand the whole door knocking thing, but I know some people are successful with it. Farming, what is it they do? Copy. To me, I would hands down do the open houses. I can really get people up and running incredibly quickly. I've hired many people that have sold 4, 5, 6, 7 homes their first month just from open houses. It's such a quick way, and it's inexpensive. Other than ordering the signs, it's free. And I think it's a great way to go. And that's what I do if you're new. That's what I do. Keep pushing the envelope. Well, I did one from 11 to 4. We'll go 8 to 8. You know, try a new location. Move around. Don't stay in the same location. Well, I'm intimidated to do the 800,000. Go do them. I was intimidated to do the radio. I hated it. I felt like all the oxygen was sucked out of the radio booth. I hated it. But you know what? Successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. They do what's uncomfortable. And you need, if you're uncomfortable, then you are right on track. Because pretty soon you do what's uncomfortable long enough and it becomes comfortable. And then pretty soon you're being interviewed for a national radio show. I published my first book called Momentum 2 years ago on real estate. You can get that at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. That's a shameless plug. And you're writing books, you're speaking. I'm speaking in Dallas for Haas Pratt seminars. I've spoken at Kinder Reese seminars many, many times, 3 or 4 times. This year I'm just attending. But, you know, they mix up their speaker base. But go. Be learning-based. Be a sponge. Get the gift of interrogation. Ask lots of questions. And be passionate and get excited. Slap yourself in the face. Wake up and dream big. Do big things. That's my advice if you're new.
You mentioned your book, and if somebody wanted to learn more about you and I know you do training as well. Where would they look for that? And just give us a couple minutes here real quick on what do you have to offer? Where could they find it?
Okay. If you like my style and what I do, you can go to Brent Gove. My first name is Brent, B-R-E-N-T. Last name's Gove, G-O-V as in Victor E. Brent Gove Seminars with an S .com. And on that website, I offer my book, Momentum, and they sell all over. You can get it also, get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com as well. And then number two, at BrentGoveSeminars.com, I offer 3 DVDs. One DVD is called How to Write Winning Offers and Never Lose Again. How to get in a multiple offer situation with 5, 6, 7 other agents and whip their butts every time. The stuff I talk about is people who have been doing real estate 30 years just drop their jaw and go, I can't believe I never thought of that. So get that DVD called How to Write Winning Offers. There's also a DVD called How to Build a Mega Team. You know, I'm going to go on to sell another 300, 400, 500 homes a year. I'm very good at it. I've already done it. And I talked to you exactly step by step how to build a team. You know, talked about where my failures were, where my successes were, avoid this, do this. You know, so it's a great DVD, How to Build a Mega Team. Get that one. The final DVD I offer is How to Do a Mega Open House, how to actually get 50 to 100 people to your open house. In great detail, a whole hour on each. It's an hour on how to write winning offers, an hour on how to build a mega team, an hour on how to do mega open houses. And it's all at BrentGoveSeminars.com.
We've come to the end. I've run out of questions. Do you have any parting thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, man. See whose life you can change. Who can you help? You know, I know you guys are all trying to survive and make it in real estate, but it's so rewarding when you reach out to the secretary at your office and you know, maybe give her a gift card to grocery because she's a single mom and it's $25 and maybe you don't got much, but it's really about who can you help in life. And that's where you're really winning. Someone's having a hard day and you sense it. Don't just blow by them. Go, now, how you doing? Really? Tell you the truth. I'm really struggling. You can pray for them. If you have money and they need some, you can financially help them. You could, there's a lot of things you could do. Support them, be there for them, invite them and their kids over. But who can I help in life? That's the true winners in life. They're givers. So be a giver and be student-based, be learning-based, and master lead generation. If you will do those things, I think you're going to have a very happy, fulfilling, exciting life. I get fired up every morning when I wake up. But those are the things I do, and I get on my knees and thank God. So that's my parting thought.
Well, Brent, you are tenacious. You started slow, but kept plugging away. Every year, you sought out better methods and worked hard to incorporate them into your practice. You doubled your production by focusing on open houses, then doubled again by leveraging that knowledge into a team. Along the way, you've been willing to give back. You've helped those who are ambitious and those in need. Thank you for sharing and being our top agent of the month. And join us next call when we talk to an agent who started a practice in 3 different cities, learned as he went, and proved you can net $1 million as a real estate agent by following a simple plan. Find out who he is on the next Success Call.
You've been listening to Success Calls on the Mastermind Agent Network, where top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.